Gospel of John in chapter 3. There's a purpose for Sonia and I singing that song this morning. And the purpose is that I want to preach this morning on the love of God. John chapter 3, in a verse that we all know and can recite from memory, verse number 16. Our daughter Erin this week, I don't know how it came up, she says, "I can't remember when I learned John 3:16. 10-year-old girl, "I can't remember when I learned that. It came out of the womb just knowing John 3:16. I don't know how that works. Working on Bible memorization for school and other things, she just said, "I don't remember when I learned John 3:16. We usually don't remember when we learned it. It came so early in our Christian experience, and for many of us knew it before we even became Christians. It's not only the sign that they post behind the goalposts of every football game, but it's one that we learned at a very young age. John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world." Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, this morning we're thankful for what we have heard. We're thankful for our young people from downstairs, and God, how they came up and shared with us their singing. And Father, the verses, and for the Bruners and the folks that work with our kids downstairs, we thank You for them. And I pray, God, Your hedge of protection about each of those young lives. Father, what a world we have to raise them in. God, the devil is so wise and wily, and Father, so adept at sneaking in His information to them. And Father, we just pray You would help them to be faithful to You. And Father, to take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ in these days. We pray now for our congregation up here that God, You would bless us from Your word. Encourage us this morning. And Father, so often we are beat up by the Holy Spirit of God and convicted in our lives of things, and needfully so, things that we need to be straightening out and doing. And Father, now we come to just a time where we can kind of relax a little bit and just enjoy hearing about Your love for us. And Father, we're so thankful for it. God, Your love is like no love we've ever experienced before. And Father, as we consider that love this morning, I pray You'd help all of us to be mindful and thankful. And Father, should there be one today that's never experienced the love of God in Jesus Christ by the saving of their soul, Father, we pray for that one, those two, however many might be here this morning, that they would be convicted by the Spirit of God, that they might want to get in on the love of God. Father, thank You for that love of God, so rich and pure. Bless our time in Your Word this morning. We ask in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Many times as Baptists, I'm afraid, we are afraid to get soft. And so we preach on sin, we preach on hell, we preach on judgment, and we need to do that because many that are soft preach on some things and or ignore those. But sometimes we're guilty of preaching on those and then ignoring subjects like the love of God. Without the love of God, where would we be? Without the love of God, what would our existence be? We are, and we will continue to be, because of the love of God. God made Adam in the garden because He wanted someone to love. And man, in spite of his failures and his faults, still can be guaranteed that God loves him. And without the love of God, this system would cease to exist. If there was no God, if there was no love of God, there would be nothing this morning. And so we're convinced that God does love this world. The Bible gives us many references, and you need not turn to these, but you might want to jot them down if you're taking notes. In 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 9, the Bible says this, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him." That's how the love of God was manifested toward us. Verse 10 in 1 John 4 says, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Verse 11 says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." Our example for love is God. Now that's a high and lofty example. If our example to love were any other human being, it would be a failed love. I don't care how rich it is. But our example for love is God's love. We need to be reminded of that and understand that. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, again, the Bible says this, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Oh, what a high example of love. Well, I love those that love me. I love those that do good to me. I love those that I want to love. God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. The Apostle Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4 and 5. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us." Now it's not just love, it's a great love wherewith He loved us. The Bible said, "Even when we were dead in sins, He hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace are you saved." And then 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. "Behold, what manner of love." Love, great love, what manner of love, unspeakable love. "What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." I want to give you 7 things this morning about the love of God. I hope you'll jot them down, and from time to time when you get discouraged, when you get depressed, when the devil begins to kick you around. I saw a fellow this week at the one of the auto places. I was in getting some oil for an oil change. And there was a young fellow there that is saved and having a hard time being faithful in church. And the devil's giving him a hard time and kicking him around. And I saw him and I began to talk to him and tell him we miss him, we'd like to see him. And he began to explain to me what's going on in his life and all the negative things that are happening. And I said, "Don't let the devil kick you around. Don't let the devil discourage you. God loves you. God wants to bless you. God wants to help you, but you've got to turn to Him and be faithful to Him." This world will sometimes convince us that God doesn't care. Our circumstances will seem to indicate that no one really cares. But I want you to see 7 things about God's love here this morning. First of all, and I began by reading all those verses, which kind of backs up my first thought, the love of God is undeniable. The love of God is undeniable. You cannot deny, you cannot argue, you cannot dispute, you cannot contend that God does not love us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's how God commended His love toward us. The Bible says in Romans 5, 9, that for a righteous man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. His love is undeniable. Revelation chapter 1, look if you would, Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 5. From beginning to end, God's love is there. And at the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 1 verse 5, the Bible talks about love that backs up in time. The book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, chapter 1 and verse 5, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood." I'm here to let you know this morning that the love of God is undeniable. I don't care who denies it. I don't care who disputes it. I don't care who argues or contends about it. The love of God is undeniable. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, which I read already this morning, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us." The Bible states over and over and over again that God loves us. The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 1 that everything that's in existence is in existence because of God. And don't you know that if God didn't love us, He would be completely fed up? I mean, how many of you are fed up? You pick up the newspaper, aren't you fed up? You turn on the newscast, aren't you fed up? Aren't you sick? Aren't you tired? You're human. You don't have purity and divinity like God. Now imagine a holy and righteous and clean God looking at what you and I get fed up with and think of how He looks about. And the only reason we exist right now is because of the love of God. If it wasn't that, poof, it'd be gone. God's love is undeniable. Number two, say, well, this will be fast. Don't bet on it. Number two, not only is the love of God undeniable, the love of God is unending. Unending. You cannot wear out God's love. You cannot exasperate God's love. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 31, if you would, there. The book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament, chapter 31. If we can put two and two together, which hopefully most of us can, the Bible says that from everlasting, in the book of Psalms, from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. From everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Then 1 John tells us, God is love. So if we can put the two together, which there's no reason we can't, God is from beginning to end. He's from everlasting to everlasting, and He is love. There is no ending to His love. His love is everlasting because God is everlasting and God is love. His love is everlasting. It just adds up that way. Now, if you don't believe that, well, look at Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse number 3. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3 says this, "The Lord hath appeared of old to me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love." Now I understand that Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 3 is written to the nation of Israel. But I also find out that in the New Testament, when God established His church, that love was extended to us. And that God who is from everlasting to everlasting, that God who is love, loves us. And that love is unending. There is nothing we can do. Folks, this is written in stone. There's nothing we can do that would make God not love us. Now, there's things we can do to make Him not approve of us. There's things we can do to make Him not bless us. There's things we can do that would prohibit Him from using us in our life for His glory. But there's nothing we can do for Him not to love us because His love is unending. Isn't that a comfort? Isn't that a blessing? If God's love was not everlasting, if God's love was not from beginning to ending, we would be in trouble. We would be outside the love of God. But God's love is unending. Number three. God's love is unlimited. God's love is unlimited. In John chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world." You know, the population of the world when John 3:16 was written was just a fraction of what the population of the world is today. And yet the Bible said at that point that God loved the world. That love did not begin at Calvary's cross. That love was an eternal and everlasting love, but it was manifested when Jesus died on the cross. Search through your Old Testament and look for that love. It's there. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. But it was manifested in Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ, there is no love manifested. He is the manifestation of God's love. And that love is universal. There is no one that Jesus Christ didn't love. Now, He rebuked people. He had to speak out against some things. But it didn't mean He didn't love them. See, the world gets confused at that too today, don't they? They think if you love someone, you'll only say positive, flowery things. If you love someone, you'll approve of everything that they do or say. Now, if you're a parent, you know better than that. You know if you're going to raise your child right and you love them, there better be times that you put the Board of Education to work. I was sitting, Brother Gary and I were sitting at lunch one day this week at a certain place, and we won't say where, that is immaterial. But there were either parents or grandparents there, you never know sometimes, with a preschooler. And as we sat at our table eating lunch, Gary said, look at that. And I turned and looked, and the boy was standing on the table, playing with the chandelier thing that hangs from the ceiling, standing on there playing with it. Now somebody needs spanked. Are you ready? It ain't the kid. It ain't the kid. A kid at that age is only going to do what he's allowed to do. And I'm not saying he shouldn't have been just whacked, paddled once to get him down and sort of thing. But the truth is, God's love, sometimes He has to whack us once. Sometimes He has to correct us. But His love is unlimited. It's always there. It's full. It's to everyone. And whether that person is a sinner, Paul said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. Whether that person is the deepest and darkest of sinners, God's love was still manifested for them in and through Jesus Christ when He died on the cross. There's a doctrine out there that's called the limited atonement. The doctrine of Calvinism, if you're familiar with those things. And it simply says this, that when Jesus died on Calvary's cross, He didn't die for everybody. He only died for an elect, chosen few. May I say this morning, that violates every thought of the Word of God. When Jesus died on the cross, He had every lost sinner on His heart, on His mind, and their sins on His shoulder when He died. His love is unlimited. There's no one you meet in this world that can say, God doesn't love me. There's no one in this world, I don't care who they are, how wicked, how ungodly, or how good they are, that can say, God's love wasn't extended to me. God loves everybody. Now again, doesn't mean He approves of everybody. Doesn't mean He okays everything. Because love demands correction. But God's love is unlimited. Number four. I don't know if you can say they just keep getting better. I don't know how this works. Number four, God's love is unconditional. God's love is unconditional. The best of us in here have conditional love when it comes to one another. You don't believe it? Let me stab you in the back. I won't do it, but let me do it, and let's see how far the love goes. You know, God's been stabbed in the back over and over and over again, theoretically speaking, by you, by me. How many times would God have to say at the end of the day, why did you do that and that and that and that, or say this or go there or think that or what? How many times would God have to do that to us? And if His love was conditioned upon that, He'd say, that's it, we're done, you're out. But that's not the God I read about in the Word of God. And if I'm not mistaken, though we're human and frail, isn't that kind of the love that we have for our children? God is our Heavenly Father, is He not? We are His children by faith, and His love is unconditional for us. I think it's true in our families that our children can do just about anything, and we still love them. Still love. Now again, remember God, unconditional love. Unlimited love, but not approval of activities and actions. But unconditional love. You take a young baby when it's born, hasn't done good or bad, and the minute that mom, that dad, those other grandparents see that baby, there's unconditional love. Having not done anything yet, and the Bible talks about that, that love's already there. Doesn't mean there won't come times of correction and times of heartbreak and times of heartache like you and I did to our parents. But the love is always unconditional. As a Heavenly Father, He loves us not because of us. He loves us in spite of us. He loves us in spite of what we do sometimes. He still loves us. God is not love because of our actions. God is love because it's His attribute. You get that? God is not love because of our actions. He doesn't love us because we're loving. We're lovely. We love Him because He first loved us. While we were yet sinners, God commended His love that Christ died for us. And God is love, and His love is unconditional because that's His attribute, not because our actions deserve or demand it. God's love is unconditional. Now that does not mean we ought to take advantage of God's love. That's a sorry child that would take advantage of a father or mother's love and know that they won't do anything because they love them. Sometimes we have to do things because we love them. But that love is unconditional. Number five, the love of God is unmeasurable. How much does God love you? I don't think you have any idea. I don't think you have any clue. I don't think I do. Let me ask you this. How much did the Father love the Son? Can we measure that love, really? Can we measure the love that the Father had? You know, little kids will say, I love you this much. If we wanted to measure the love of the Father for the Son, how much love would that be? It'd be unmeasurable. Now I want you to look at John chapter 17 and notice something. John chapter 17. And verse number 23. In John chapter 17, the Lord Jesus Christ is praying to the Father in heaven. All the words in this chapter are the prayer of Jesus Christ on His knees, talking to the Father. And He says in verse 23, as He's praying to the Father, I in them and Thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that Thou hast sent me, notice this, and hast loved them as Thou hast loved me. Isn't that amazing? The love of the Father for the Son is the same as the love of Father for the sons, which is us, the children of God. That's beyond our understanding. That's beyond our comprehension. We would automatically say, well, the Father loves the Son more than He would ever love us. But Jesus said, give them the love that You've given Me because that's the love wherewith You love them. God's love for you is unmeasurable. It's unending. God's love for you is unlimited. It's unconditional. Here we are basking in the midst of the love of God. What do we do about it? How do we express back to God our love for Him for loving us that much? When someone loves us that much, what do we do in return to them? Oh, too many times we turn our back and walk away. Too many times we think, oh, I'm glad you think that much, you love me so much, but I really don't have time for you today. God's love is unmeasurable. Number six, God's love is unmovable. God's love is unmovable. And that's an unusual word, but let me show you what I mean. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Here's a familiar passage, and it talks about the love of God. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse number 35. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 35. Here Paul is writing to the believers at the church in Rome, Jew and Gentile alike, and he says to them in Romans chapter 8 and verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? We're talking about His love is unmovable. Who shall separate us? Who shall move us away from? Who shall take us away from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? What can separate us from the love of God? Well, verse number 38. Paul said, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." What can move us from the love of God? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Oh, but preacher, what if I? Unconditional, unmeasurable, unlimited. Oh, but preacher, what if? There is no what ifs with God. Not concerning His love. Not concerning His love. His justice, His holiness, His righteousness. Yeah, we can get in trouble there. Will always be His love. Let me ask you this. When you were a kid, maybe I shouldn't ask that. That's going to backfire on me. That's what happens when a preacher says something that comes to mind when he hadn't thought it out. Let me tell you where I was going and then you'll see where the problem was. I was going to say, when you were a kid, who would you have rather had spank you? The gym teacher or your parents at home? Then I realized, I got both. That illustration just fell flat on its face right there. If I got in trouble at school, I got home, I was in trouble at home. It didn't work. So let's rewind. Let's go back to something else fast. Wouldn't you rather have God chastise you than a stranger? Wouldn't you have a God that loves you, correct you, rather than another human being? And yes, God has to do that. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and receiveth every son. All right, He has to correct us. But it never moves us away from His love. Paul just said that. What can separate us from the love of God? He names it. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. Death, life, angels, principalities, powers, things. Now, you know, I know your human mind. Well, I don't read this in that list, and I'll come up with one that's not there. Oh, thou fool. God is explaining to you His love is unmovable. You can't get God's love away from you. Here's what happens to a person that dies without Christ in their life at the end of that lifespan. And they go off into eternity having the love of God surrounding them, but have never experiencing it, having never accepted it, because the love of God was shown in Christ Jesus. But His love is unmovable. Now, again, understand, I'm not challenging you to find a way to move God's love away from you. You know, the Bible talks in John chapter 10, it says, my sheep hear my voice and they know me and they follow me. And I'm missing the... Let me look at it real quick. John chapter 10. I'm wanting the verse about the... And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. All right, no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So people say, well, yeah, no man can. But that's our human mind, wanting to find exceptions to the Word of God. Wanting to find loopholes. Isn't that what criminals do in the court system? Try to find loopholes. No man can pluck you out. Well, what about the devil? Now go to Isaiah 14. Read your Bible all the way through. And he's called a man. Ezekiel 28. Don't look for a loophole in Romans 28. Oh yeah, but God loves me if it's distress and famine and persecution. But what about this? What about if I make tomorrow's front page because I did something nobody ever even imagined? Some atrocity, so terrible. Doesn't mean God's love isn't there. God's love is unmovable. Then number 7, and I saved the best for last, if there's a best. All of these are good, aren't they not? God's love is undeniable. God's love is unending. God's love is unlimited. God's love is unconditional. God's love is unmeasurable. God's love is unmovable. We've already seen it's a love that no earthly relationship can match. Lastly, The love of God is undeserved. The love of God is undeserved. You didn't deserve for God to love you. You don't deserve for God to love you. I don't deserve for God to love you. I look at you here this morning, you look at me standing here, and we see people that are cleaned up for church on Sunday morning. But we don't see what goes on behind those eyeballs. We don't see what works in that mind and that heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You've got that heart. The Bible says that in our nature, we are rebels, we are enemies of God by wicked works in our minds. And yet God loved us. God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you. No one ever cared for me like Jesus, the songwriter wrote. The love of God is undeserved. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, I read it earlier. We love Him because He first loved us. Last week in North Carolina, my daughter was full 9 months pregnant, into her fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth day, past her due date. She was miserable. As a man who's never experienced that, I can't imagine. Now, I've had a belly before, so I can imagine that part. But not to that size and that extreme and that weight and that discomfort. And just watching her made me hurt. It's why she was so low because she was so ready for delivery. And it was all down there. It was so low. It didn't look good. And though she kept a fairly positive attitude, I mean, she was miserable. And of course, at that time, and I think I shared this before, at that time she said, no, never again. Not after this. I'll never do this again. But then she gave birth. And then that thing that was causing such misery and trouble was now not in here, but in her arms. You should have heard the difference in her language. Now it wasn't, She put on Facebook, I am so thankful for my precious family. It changed everything. Getting it from there to here changed everything. Thank God she experienced that. Not me. But she got to hold it. Now, my question is this. What did that baby do to deserve that kind of emotion from her? What did that baby do that made her so full of love and overwhelmed with love? What did she do? Kept her up at night? Rolled around in there and gave her heartburn? Made her miserable through 80 and 90 degree days of high humidity on the coast of North Carolina? That baby had done nothing but cause misery for 9 months. But the minute she held it, it was all forgotten. You know why? That love wasn't deserved. It was a natural love. It's as natural as any of us. We've all experienced it. As parents, even as grandparents. We've experienced it. The first time we see them. I mean, now with sonograms, you don't even have to wait till they're born. They go in there and show you a picture of that little thing, you know, at however many weeks old, and we're already in love. And that love's not deserved. They've done nothing to deserve that love. But it's still there. God loves us just that way and so much more. Now, God forbid, but many people have loved that little child right there. And I have been in the homes of elderly women who have showed me the picture of that child or grandchild that they pray for every day who's in prison. Doesn't affect their love, but they never imagined when they saw that first time that's what would come of it. But it doesn't affect their love. It affects their fellowship. It affects their friendship. It affects their communication. They can't get together and sit around together and have a nice talk around the table because circumstances and things have changed that. But the love's still there. Can I tell you this morning, God loves you. That's undeniable. And it's undeserved. And it's unlimited. And it's unmeasurable. And it's unmovable. God loves you. And for you as a child of God, thank God every day for that. Thank God every day that the one who holds your life in His hands is not an enemy, not contentious, not angry, but He loves you. And if you're not in Christ, understand that one that loves you wants to save you. That one that loves you wants to make you part of His family. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God's love. Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father, this morning we thank You for Your love. It is all these things that we